Hello, Sendai!
外国語情報番組、多言語放送局の時間です。この番組は、仙台観光国際協会、センティアが、英語、中国語、韓国語、優しい日本語の4言語で、毎月トピックを変えて情報をお伝えしています。今日の担当は、アイルランド出身のイーライと、
カナダ出身のテシアと、
中国出身のアンイと、
ブルガリア出身のコリアンです。
今月のテーマは、詐欺に注意です。今日は英語でお送りいたします。Hello and welcome to Hello Sendai. Every month we broadcast seasonal topics and information to you from Sentia in English, Chinese, Korean, and Easy Japanese. My name is Eli and I'm from Ireland.
My name is Tesha and I'm from Canada.
My name is Anyi and I'm from China.
And my name is Kaoyan and I'm from Bulgaria.
Our topic for today is staying aware of scams.So we're seeing a lot more chilly nights and mornings lately, and I hope our listeners are all doing well despite the cold. Today we're going to move a bit away from weather and we're going to talk a bit about scams. So Japan generally has this image of being a very safe country, but that being said, scams are also not totally uncommon in Japan either. In addition, there are some people out there that specifically target those that have come from abroad. And so on today's program, we will be talking about staying aware of scams,to learn more about them and make sure we can avoid getting into any trouble while we are in Japan. So I guess the first question I want to ask everyone is, do you think that Japan is a safe country? Is there anywhere that people feel a bit unsafe in Sendai?
I think Kokubonsho.
There are certainly a lot of street touts kind of just walking around. There, like, you'll see a lot of people who are kind of like trying to get you to follow them to their restaurants. But that's actually illegal in Japan. Like, technically it's... punishable, like they don't really, you know, put you in jail or anything, but they can fine you and the store that you work for if, like, you know, you were arrested for trying to do what they call kakubiki in Japanese.
Have Kalyan or Annie, have either of you had experiences getting caught by these people on the streets?
No, but I do see like weird people hanging around like on the street and come to talk to me like, excuse me, where are you from? How old are you? Where do you live? And are you a student or something?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I just ran away.
Yeah. I think that's usually the safest strategy, just keep on walking.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it just my experience, but I think because I'm visibly look quite foreign, they generally don't approach me very often. Because I think the presumption is that I can't speak Japanese. So it kind of feels like a superpower. It's great. I can walk down the street and they just kind of, they walk towards me and they realize, oh, he's a foreigner, and they kind of change direction.
Yeah, that's true.
But I had this strange experience a few weeks ago when I was walking home from work, and it was close to my house. I was maybe like about a kilometer away or so, and this girl came up to me and she was in like a suit or whatever, and she was like, oh, hello, I'm doing a thing for my shukatsu for, I don't know in what capacity it was for her shukatsu, but she said she was doing it for the purpose of her getting a job, right? She wanted to exchange meishi or a business card with as many people as possible. And I didn't have my meishi, my business card on me, but I, even if I did, I would have said I don't have it. And I just told her, oh no, I actually don't have my card on me. Another strange thing about it as well is like she didn't start by giving her business card either. She just kind of asked for mine first. And I told her I don't have it. And she's like, oh, it's okay for people that don't have business cards. We could, if we could just take down your name and number or something that we can identify you with. And I'm like,
what?
This is strange. I'm just like...
That sounds like human trafficking.
I don't know what was going on in the background. But I just told her, look, I don't know the number of my workplace, which is true. I actually don't know it off by heart because I actually don't know how many people do know it off by heart. But anyway, I just kind of walked away. But I'm still like, what was that?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That one I've never seen before.
Yeah. Strange.
Super shady.
Yeah.
I know for Tohoku Daigaku on their website, like it says that if someone tries to approach you and like and they look shady on campus, do not engage. Like there is a page like that for international students, specifically on the Tohoku University website. So I was just wondering if that's like a really common thing that happens on campus, if they have to like, you know, go out of their way to kind of warn people about them. Have you ever like seen any people like that when you're at school? Or?
I have never seen someone shady like that on campus. I think like the weirdest thing I've ever seen on campus was it was like one day on the bulletin boards there was like hundreds of flyers about like let's start a movement, and then there was like Discord link or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Did they say what kind of movement?
Just like, let's do something. Like, that's, no, that's
it,
all?
It was like burn the fields type of movement. So, so like, I don't know. It's like, it was kind of scary. Yeah. Quite sketchy. Didn't try to like see what it is.
That sounds cultish. Like.
Yeah. For those bulletin boards in the university, do you have to like get permission to put stuff
on
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But do you think that they just put it up anyway?
Yeah, but they just... The whole bulletin board was just like a bunch of these flyers.
Scary.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. We did have something like that in like my university. We'll constantly have this self-proclaimed communist student collective. And they're like, let's abolish the current government. Like, join our movement by, you know, getting this QR code to our Telegram group. I'm like, that sounds sketchy. So yeah, do not engage with like QR codes and stuff. Because that could lead to phishing sites. I was just going to say, like, I actually read that on the news like a few days ago about how some scammers are now using, you know, QR codes and things like that to try to lead people to access their site so they can steal your information. Like, apparently it's something that's getting more common. Like, for example, on ATMs or like in stores where sometimes you have to scan to pay for things, like they would create a site that looks identical to like a banking site or something and like trick you into giving them your card information. So that's like a new type of scam that's gotten more popular lately.
Yeah, I guess maybe that explains why like many professors and my like department, they don't use PayPay or like any QR code at all because they are afraid that their information will be like taken in a bad way.
I think our generation, our people are generally quite savvy with technology. We've all kind of grown up with it, we're good. But like, I don't, you probably all had similar experiences, but I just get shady links from my relatives on Facebook randomly. like every few months I'll get like a link from an aunt I haven't talked to in 10 years being like, come join my chat room. And I'm just like, I feel like this isn't Michelle. I feel like this is someone else. Mm. So there's definitely, I think there's definitely a generational gap between the literacy with stuff like that, which is, I mean, it makes it even more sad because you know that scammers, they generally try to target people that are more vulnerable. Mm. Like you see that, like, what's that famous one that they always do in Japan, the ore ore sagi, where they have the
it's
people where they phone there. Yeah.
I need money. Give me money, please.
Yeah.
Like,
My grandma in Bulgaria has actually once had like an ore ore sagi. That's a thing in Bulgaria as well.
Really?
Yeah. Like, she once got a call and it was like someone, it's me, like, help me, I'm your daughter.
Wow.
Some stuff like that. And, but it was like kind of like obvious because, you know, like if you stop to think about it for a second, and like you ask them a question, they're like, they're gonna give you like a random answer or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like a real person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. So your grandma didn't fall for this game?
Yes, yes.
Okay, great.
Fortunately.
Yeah.
I almost once fell for a phishing attempt, though, in Japan. Like, it's the first time I actually got like a phishing SMS, short message, and it was the first time like I almost fell for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, at that time, like the reason I almost fell for it is because like it was about my Amazon account.
Oh.
And I was like just changing my passwords and there was like some problem with my previous password, like right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the next day or something, I get like a short message that's like, there is a problem with your Amazon password or something.
Oh.
And then like I was like, oh, really again? And I'm like, I didn't like look at the link. Because if you look at the link, they're like very shady.
You can always tell,
SMS links, yeah. It's like, anyway, I click that and there's like just an Amazon login page. It looks like identical to the normal one. But the reason I actually realized the last second is because I use the password manager. You should do that.
Yeah.
Use the password manager, definitely. And usually it autofills when you go to like a website that you have.
Oh, yeah.
But like it didn't autofill and I was like, wait, why do I have to like do my password? Wait, this link is kind of shady.
No.
And then, that's like the story of how I didn't get fished, but fortunately.
Jeez, that's so close though.
Yeah.
Dang.
If you didn't notice at the last second, like
that's... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite scary.
Yeah, like I haven't fell for anything digital before. But one scam that is also quite common that you hear quite a lot in Japan is these ones on like dating apps as well. I haven't fallen for one. This is a friend's story.
Yeah,
we're gonna preface it. This is actually a friend's story.
I can vouch for that.
No, she knows the friend. This is
okay.
Basically. A friend of mine, he was on like a dating app, and he matched with this person. They were like, oh, let's go on a date or whatever. And they went out, and I don't know where they went, but basically showed up, and instead of being the one person, it was two, right? So which is a bit fishy to start with. And then the person he was meeting with, they eventually were like, oh, hey, let's go check out this place or whatever. And they get taken to this strange, I don't know what kind of building it was, but somewhere that was just a bit fishy. And all of a sudden, he's kind of surrounded by like a bunch of people, like 10, 15 people, and they're telling him about Fuji-san and how wonderful Fuji-san is. So basically, it was one of these newfound Fuji-san cults.
What?
And he got roped in through a dating app. And he's one of the kind of people that would be quite, it would feel quite awkward being like, no, I don't want this. So they just made him sign the paper and stuff.
Oh.
So he actually got into a lot of trouble with that later on because they then had his contact details. But yeah, just be careful with who you're meeting with online is, I guess, the moral of that story.
Oh my god, yeah.
Does anyone else have any horror stories?
if you got like a voice message from like an embassy or something telling you that you have a package or that there's something wrong with your visa and you need to contact them right away or else you're gonna get deported, do not trust them, because everything that is like published by the government usually comes in physical mail. Because I, like, not myself, but I know a lot of people who were kind of like, they freaked out when they heard the word embassy. They're like, oh no, the government's out to get me, and they like unfortunately kind of get scammed through that.
Yeah. I think Kalyan actually brought up an interesting point earlier in terms of like when it comes to scams, when you actually sit down and think about it logically, it never makes sense if you start questioning them. So I think a big part of it is like, if you get something, a strange message or something comes to you that is quite like emotional, like, you know, you're gonna get deported or this is gonna happen to you, it's like, I think it's really important to give yourself a bit of time to just like sit down, think about it critically, look at the link, see if the link is fishy.
Yeah.
If it's someone on the phone, ask them questions to confirm if they're actually your grandson, you know? It's like, it's hard to do in the moment, but I think especially if anything emotional is coming like first, then that's like the first kind of red flag that you should like sit down and think about it critically. So just to finish up, we have an announcement from Sentia. Sentia will be recruiting participants for the 2025 Sendai International Exchange Students Program. This recruitment period starts from mid-December and will end in mid-January of next year. We are looking for international students who are interested in facilitating international exchange in Sendai and supporting fellow foreign residents over the course of a year, beginning on the 1st of April 2025. So actually, the two guests we have today, Kalyan and Annie, are both current international students.
Yeah.
So they will be your senpai if you join, and you may be able to join us on the radio, so we highly recommend it. But for details on requirements and more, please check the International Relations Department blog, which will be updated in December. The application forms can be obtained from the Sentia Ichibancho office and the Sendai Multicultural Center. We look forward to receiving your application. And that's all from us this month. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.